listener-supported Christian radio station, WCNO 89.9 FM, Palm City.
She had fully embraced the Lord, where before she was going through the motions.
The perfunctory duty, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I didn't realize it then. Mm. You know, I just thought, well, my mom's a Jesus
freak.
But
you can tell. When somebody truly is, when the switch happens, Jesus said, make sure ye are born again. Mm-hmm. Because Billy Graham said, people go to church, they get just enough that they never get it. Yeah. It's like an inoculation. We all have to be very careful.
I didn't get it the first time or the at the initial. I got it because God didn't reject me. But when I came back, that was when I knew that it had been good the first time. Because you only get saved once. You only get saved.
I believe that. You probably were saved then because, I mean, if he marries you, that's it. His gifts are without repentance.
That's what I think.
I know there are people out there say, you know, once saved, always saved. There are other people say, once. I don't believe that.
No, I believe once saved. But
I don't. Because otherwise you'd have to worry every day. Oh, well, I swore at somebody in traffic today. Now I'm on my way to hell.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's why.
But he did say to the overcomer. That's the only nebulous thing that bothers me is I go, well, when do I become an overcomer? And I don't mean to take this lightly. When am I not? Because when we wake up on the other side, your mama's not going to be there. Nobody's going to be there. It doesn't matter. The former president of the United States, either Jesus likes you or he doesn't. And if he says, I don't know you, and many, many will come to me on that day saying, we did signs and wonders. We cast out demons in your name. And he will say, get away from me. I never knew you. Well, I never knew you. And to others, he'll say, you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, visited me in prison. Come in, because you did these things for me. He said, we don't remember visiting you in prison or feeding you. And he will say, as you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. Now, does that mean it's a salvation of works? No. But works. Well, faith without works is dead, right? So if you have true faith, the works will follow naturally. Just a little warning out there across these airwaves.
Absolutely.
Myself as well as anybody else.
Since 1992, I have watched, you know, because I'm paying attention now. I'm just letting you know.
Lord said, have I?
I am on my J-O-B when it comes to this. And I'm going through some family things right now where I had some family members try to displace me, try to have me arrested. I mean, I've had some really serious things.
You mean of late this has happened?
In the last year. So. And it's all because—
Vengeance, right?
Well, yeah.
You planted a lot of bad seed.
No, I planted good seed, the good seed's been corrupted by one bad seed that has gotten in with the— So in my particular case, I have been able to— gen out the flax.
What's that mean, gen out?
Well, like when they're cleaning the wheats and the tares. Remember how Jesus, how they throw them up in the air and they separate the chaff from
the wheat?
Well, that's what I've had to do. And God's made that possible, okay, with a couple of good attorneys, you know, just with doing the right thing. Just doing the right thing. I mean, I had opportunities while this was going on to, you know, to really do serious damage to people. And I said, no, I'm not going to fall into that trap. It's an anger. It's an anger trap. And I just asked God, please do not let me get mad with these people for what they're doing to me. Help me to be forgiving and understanding, even though I don't at this point. So it's allowed me to pray for these people that are trying to hurt me. They're trying to separate me from financial means and family. They're really trying to hurt me. But through it all, I just want to keep my eyes on Jesus and forgiveness because I don't want that anger.
No, as we forgive, so shall we be forgiven. Let me ask you this. When you were in prison for those, how many years did you do?
Five in, five out.
Well, that's not bad. You did five.
I mean, under the old
compared
system.
Compared to 10. But tell me something. Remember I spoke about visiting? Uh-huh. Jesus commands us to visit those. Uh-huh. Did you have people that represented Jesus come in with his love and visit you in prison?
Well, they weren't there specifically for me.
No, but I mean—
But they were there, yes. And any time they came, I went. Didn't matter. Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist. I didn't care. I just wanted to hear the word. Maybe not everything they were saying, was exactly
well,
what...
Well, there are those of us who believe the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, are, yeah, what, a cult.
But
that's for someone else to decide.
Right.
Ultimately.
I just want the message. I'm going to get something out of that message. It may not be everything, but I'm going to get...
I have a friend that did 26 years in prison, and I still don't know what he did, but he knew the Quran, studied the Quran inside and out, could quote every word of it. And then, from being a Muslim, he gets converted to Jesus.
Wow.
I mean, the things that happen in prisons, God sure
it
gets
is,
your...
It is, you know, it is. I mean, like, I knew where I needed to be, so I didn't have a bad attitude.
No.
It was...
You
saw
knew that
a
this
sign.
Was your salvation.
Yes, sir.
You had the humility
I
to go.
I grabbed that right away. I was on that prison bus going out Interstate 10, way out into the panhandle.
Yes.
And we drove by a sign. They were working on Interstate 10. It was all torn up.
Yeah.
And that sign said, temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement. And I just stuck that in my heart.
That's
and
wonderful.
I ran with it to this day. You know, it's just...
That should be the title of your book.
Could be.
Say it again.
Temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement, which is what it was. I mean, even, you know, I just want to give all the glory
people
to God.
People want a sign, and you
yes,
got one.
I want to say this. I want to give all the glory to God because I wouldn't be here if he didn't want me here. And the next thing
isn't
is—
isn't that wild? He chooses us?
Yes. While I was in prison, I can't tell you how often I would have these correctional officers come up to me and they'd go, what the heck's wrong with you? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, don't you ever have a bad day? I go, sure, I'm human. He goes, well, we don't see it, you know. You're always
what
helping
a nice
people.
Compliment.
Yeah, you're studying your Bible with people. You're always...
Hey,
and
when you got Jesus on the inside, you can't help but show on the outside.
That's right. And I said, listen, right now, for me, those doors and that gate is shut, locked. I can't go out.
Temporary inconvenience.
But I said, when God tells you to open that door and roll that gate back, there isn't a one of you here that can stop me from going out. And they go, we never thought about that. And I go, well, that's what I'm waiting on.
Let me ask you this. I always wonder about this. Mm-hmm. I like being thankful. For instance, you know, there was a time period just for a short day I was hungry. And so somebody fed me, and I'll never forget it. So I want to ask you this. You're behind the bars. And now, and one thing that it scares me is that the idea of that. And I thank God I've never been imprisoned. But I know Alfred Hitchcock was dreadfully afraid of the police. And one time on the set of a movie, they hired an actor to dress up like a cop to come and arrest him, freaked him out. So I want to know this. Do you look out some days like this and go, wow, after we get done with this interview, you're going to walk out that studio and you're a free man.
Almost
Jesus
every
has
day.
Freed you from drugs. Jesus has freed you from corruption. And Jesus has freed you so you have the liberty to walk about, go and have lunch wherever you want to go or dinner.
I'm thankful for that every day. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, before I even put my feet on the floor, is I just lay there and I just thank you, Jesus, for another day. Just thank you. That's all I say. I mean, you know, because
he who is
I'm finally at a point.
Jesus said he was forgiven much.
And you have to forget, like me. Yeah. There's been so many people that I don't know about, Rhett, that have been behind the scenes trying to help me. I'm never going to know who they are unless they're revealed in heaven.
And you don't need to.
No, but they did their job.
God is watching us.
Yeah. Yeah, he
remember
is.
That song?
Yeah.
God is watching us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just... I could write a book. I just don't know how you find somebody to do that. But
I might be able to help you with that, but we'll talk about that in the future.
I mean, I was involved with my family. We were drug smugglers out of Central America for years. I mean, I've run the whole gamut. I mean, that's why it makes it so sweet that I could go through all of that thinking, you know, that I don't have. I'm going to hell. That's where I'm going.
At the time,
yeah,
you knew you were not an overcomer.
Yeah, I
met a man in the cartel. He wrote a book, and he got out of the cartel, and he wrote a book, and they're doing a movie on him. Okay, creating a movie, but he was in the cartel, and so he was so miserable. He had 5 girlfriends and a wife. He's swimming off the beaches of Miami. He's been on my broadcast. Some people might remember this. You might remember. You listen to my show, and he said he got in the water and just told these people from Canada how miserable he was. They said, "Well, come on up up to our room. And they started reading the Bible to him. He comes to know Jesus. And it's a wonderful story. But I asked him, I said, I always wanted to ask somebody in the cartel, because you watch these movies and you go, look, you're ahead of the game by 5 million. 5 million is enough to go off and just retire. You know, have fun, enjoy yourself, fly away. The cops will be chasing some other hot prospects now, and you might get away with this whole thing. And I said, why do you keep after it? Why do you keep more? He says, we want more, 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 more.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it was with
you.
You don't, you're so engrossed in what you're doing.
Even know the devil's robbing your life.
Well, and there's also you get adrenaline, because you're afoul of the law here. You're operating every day
on the run.
Yeah,
looking over your shoulder.
You don't know who you can trust. Mm. And then when I finally got free of that, I'm just like,
oh my word.
Wow, why did I live like that for 22 years?
Well, we see people walking on the street, and mm-hmm. you never see them have a carriage like a shopping cart. And they'll have 47 bags attached to that thing. They're homeless. And you might look at them, and I laugh not at them, but I laugh at the fact that other people look at him and laugh at him, not realizing. Do you know why? Do you know what they just put a moratorium on up here? Is building these storage units. Mostly, I know people that have been storing stuff for 15 years, and they go back and go, all the rent I paid is far much more than any of this crap is worth.
It's worth it.
What is this thing we have with stuff?
I don't know.
It's Jesus said, why do you work for that which you cannot keep? Yes, it's fun to have a prestige vehicle, I suppose. It's fun to eat at a nice white linen restaurant, but I don't know about you, but I can enjoy a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and be as thankful, and maybe even more sometimes, than if I was having steak and lobster.
That's one thing that's really come out of my relationship with the Lord is that I'm content. See? I have a 1997 Ford with 300,000 miles on it. There's not a car dealership around here that could pry that out of my hand for free. Exchange, Mr. Weir, we'll give you a brand new truck. If you. Nope. No, sir, I'm going to keep what. That's difficult to learn to be content.
Mm. Like Paul said, be content in want, be content in abundance.
And now I don't look for things. I don't have a lot of money. I don't. I'm not a wealthy guy. I still work 4 or 5 hours a day.
Well, you are wealthy. Wealthy in the
well,
things
I'm well, that I
remember
can.
Remember, Jesus said, why do you work for that which you cannot keep?
Yep. Well, I so do it.
You're wealthy in
number
the Lord.
One, I'm not going to sit on the couch and watch Oprah reruns because I'll be dead in 6 months. The other thing is there's still people out there. If God was done with me.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
He fills me from within.